Siri, who's the biggest company of them all?
Make it a working lunch. Listen to the Marketplace Midday Update podcast for the day's top business headlines. Subscribe on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, in for Jeremy Hobson. Apple has hit a major milestone. The electronics giant is now the biggest public company ever, measured by stock value. Apple shares climbed more than 2.5% yesterday to $665 a share. Joining us now with more on this is our own Scott Tong. He joins us live. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning, Stacey.
Scott, how significant is this?
Well, the company's worth $623 billion as of this morning, and one financial writer threw out the comparison to Usain Bolt. That is, the champion surging out to the front ahead of the competition, and then the gap becomes embarrassing. Last year, Apple nosed in front of ExxonMobil in size, but now it's 1.5 ExxonMobil's, just to give you an idea of, of how quickly this company is growing. There is a however. If you factor in inflation, Microsoft back in 99 was still substantially bigger, but still quite a moment, Stacey.
Yeah. Well, how did Apple get here? How did they achieve such a high valuation?
Apple charges a whole lot more than its competitors. I mean, it's hard for you and I to know because the cost of our phone is kind of invisible to us. It's built into our plan.
Right.
But Apple charges a price for its iPhone maybe 50% more than a competing company that has, say, an Android phone. So Apple enjoys what's called a gross profit margin of 60% by one estimate. So we, the consumers, I don't know, we're either smart enough or dumb enough to pay the high price, the big part of it.
Well, Scott, can Apple's stock price keep climbing? From what I recall, the company had a disappointing earnings report last quarter.
Yeah, it only made $8.8 billion in Q2. you know, if you're optimistic, you say people are just holding off, waiting for the next iPhone. But longer view, there are some questions out there. How long can any company stay at the top? You know, ask Microsoft, ask Sony. They have leadership questions. Steve Jobs, of course, died last fall. So at some point, you think gravity might take hold, but not yet.
Scott Tong in Washington. Thank you, Scott.
You're welcome.
And now, let's do the numbers. European markets are on the rise this morning as high-level meetings take place between Greece, France, and Germany. London's FTSE is up 0.33%. The DAX in Germany is up 0.5%. U.S. markets edged down yesterday. The Dow Jones Industrial Average closed at 13,271. It is back-to-school shopping season. And despite the weak economy, luxury retail has been doing well. And kids' clothes are no exception. From the Wealth and Poverty Desk, Shireen Marisol Meraji reports.
Gucci's been designing kids' clothes for 2 years now, so I took a trip to its store on Rodeo Drive in Beverly Hills.
And how old are you?
Inside, the kids' section was pretty small, just a few racks and shelves. A six-year-old was trying on a pair of $200 sneakers before her first day of school, but it was the tiny camel-colored leather jacket with the $1,700 price tag that screamed luxury.
The designer and upper-end market has grown from 3% of the total kids' business to what now will become 6 to 8% by the end of 2012.
Marshall Cohen is the chief retail analyst with NPD Group. He says Oscar de la Renta has a new kids line out this fall, and you can expect to see more high-end designers outfitting kids in the future. Cohen says it's all about getting kids connected to luxury
and addicted to it. And as they grow older, you create some kind of loyalty and long-term customer relationships.
Gucci's gateway drug? Perhaps it's $275 ice gray skinny jean for 6 to 12-year-old girls. I'm Shireen Marisol Meraji for Marketplace.
Get Marketplace's top headlines, podcasts, and special features delivered right to your inbox each day. Subscribe to the Midday Update newsletter at marketplace.org.
An 11-mile stretch of the Mississippi River is closed this morning because of low water levels. The Midwestern drought has hurt many companies that ship goods down the river, and that has many industries taking a closer look at where their water comes from. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Eve Tro reports.
To turn crude oil into car-ready gas, you need a lot of water. How much? Well, your shower uses about 3 gallons a minute. The vast BP oil refinery in South Los Angeles uses thousands of gallons a minute, 24 hours a day.
You can see it looks like it's raining inside there.
That's kind of a torrential downpour.
Senior engineer Ken Letwin shows me one of the giant towers where water sprays down to cool chemical vapor into liquid gasoline. This plant was built in the 1920s, when Southern California was bursting with water.
You just poked a hole in the ground, pretty much any place water came out.
But BP's wells have mostly run dry, so it switched to tap water, the same stuff people drink. Now, the state has a goal to cut back on that water by 20% in the next few years. Ken Letwin says using 20% less water at oil refineries would mean
reduction in gasoline production and a spike in prices.
He says cutting back's not an option, but using different water is.
The sewage water that's being treated and pumped out into the ocean is a very, very large supply.
A local water agency now diverts some of that water on its way to the sea and sends it to BP.
In that cooling tower right there, about 75% of it is recycled water.
BP pays a bit more for this recycled water. Worth it for the secure supply. Since no one else needs it, no agency will tell the company to use less of it. Lots of industries that rely on water are also shoring up their sources.
Power generation, oil and gas, mining, semiconductor manufacturing, pharmaceuticals, chemicals, and food and beverage companies.
That's Zoe Cholik-Antich with the Carbon Disclosure Project, a nonprofit that tracks environmental risk for business. She says water risk doesn't show up in, say, stock price or earnings, because right now it's so cheap.
The cost of water doesn't really reflect its true value to business.
To get companies to value water, she says, you have to get them thinking, what would happen if the tap ran dry? I'm Eve Troe for Marketplace.
And finally, forget Easy Rider. Harley-Davidson is more interested in Holy Rider. The motorcycle company announced its bikes will be getting a blessing from Pope Benedict at the Vatican next year. It's part of Harley-Davidson's 110th anniversary. In New York, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.